November 15th City of Palm Coast Planning and Land Development Regulation Board meeting. Everyone please rise for this Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Schaefer, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas and Mr. Dolny are excused. Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Scully.
Here.
Mr. Davis.
Here.
Mr. Lenhartz.
Here.
Mr. Freeman.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Gentlemen, the first order of business is a approval of the minutes of our meeting of October 18th. Does anyone have any corrections or changes? Your motion to approve?
I would move to approve.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion's passed. Okay, item number two on our agenda. But I gather it's going to be item number 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Mr. Chairman? Before we get started, I have declared a conflict on all four of those items, 2, 3, 4, and 5, as I worked for the previous landowner of the biggest piece and have been retained by one of the new landowners. And since they're all kind of tied together, I filed the appropriate paperwork on all four, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Catherine's helped you with that.
Well, no. Well, we've talked before about similar things, but I filed the form with Irene.
Thank you. So you're going to recuse yourself from
Yes.
So relax. We'll get to you in a minute. Okay, Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody. Yes, these four items are comprehensive plan amendments along with the rezoning applications. It makes sense. I spoke to the chairman earlier about getting all these done in one presentation, but we'll have to vote on them separately. They're all kind of one area, one piece of property in the same general area that was annexed relatively at the same time. So Mr. Papa has the presentation for these items.
Okay. Mr. Papa.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Jose Papa with the Community Development Department Planning Division. As Mr. Tyner said, we're going to have a combination of a presentation for a comprehensive plan amendment and rezoning for an approximately 196-acre area bounded by Colbert Lane on the west and Roberts Road to the east. This area was annexed into the city in 2015, and the area is currently vacant except for two large industrial buildings, which I think you can see in white. Off of Roberts Road. And so this area, you have one owner who owns about 184 acres and owners of two smaller areas. As you can see here, Tuesday Corporation owns about a 2-acre parcel at the corner of Roberts Road and Colbert Lane. And you have the Smith properties. It's really in two parcels, which are currently developed with those industrial buildings.
But those parcels are included in these?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's going to be all part of the presentation and the proposed change. So currently, under Flagler County designation, a large majority of the site, about 184 acres, is designated as mixed-use high-intensity. And then you do have the two industrial parcels, again, at the 2-acre parcel at the corner of Roberts Road and Colbert Lane, and about a 5-acre parcel right on Roberts Road. The proposal is that we change the entire area to a city designation of mixed use, which would include limiting development to 1,500 dwelling units and 200,000 square feet. And to be clear, that those development limits would only apply to the 184 acres That's, as you will see later, will be called the Colbert Preserve and Roberts Point Master Plan Development Area. So that's essentially the area that's in yellow, outlined in yellow. The yellow dashed lines, I'm sorry. So that policy would only apply to that 184-acre area and not to the 2-acre parcel nor to the 10 acres that's owned by the Smiths. It doesn't apply there or here. I just want to be clear. Again, a public facilities impact analysis was conducted based on existing and the proposed designations for the site. Again, these sites already have entitlements. They're not designated with some low density or low intensity of uses. They're designated as mixed use, high intensity currently, and industrial. And what we're proposing is to change those to mixed use. And based on that public facilities analysis, what you see is that there typically will be a decrease in the impacts on transportation and potable water and sewer facilities. And that's due to the decrease in overall development potential provided by that limiting policy for that 184-acre parcel. And under the current flume, on the other side, you would see an increase in impacts on solid waste, parks, and schools due to the increase in residential potential. And certain assumptions had to be made in determining what the current flume designation would allow in that. Under the county's designation, there is some flexibility to vary the mixes of residential and commercial on site. So in this case, we just assume that half of it will be built for residential, half of it would be built for commercial, and just took the intensities based on the assumption that it could be built at a 50-50 ratio. Again, looking at the evaluation environmental factors, there would be no significant change in environmental impacts from the current flume to the proposed flume. Again, you already have a flume on it. Although it's a Flagler County designation, that would allow a mixed-use, high-intensity use and industrial uses. Its consistency with the surrounding land uses. The uses are generally...
Sorry, Jose. Yes. Did you just say that under the county designation, this property is mixed-use, high-intensity?
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be mixed-use?
Mixed-use. We don't have a mixed-use, high-intensity, low-intensity designation in the city. We just have mixed-use.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And so looking at the proposed land uses, generally consistent with the surrounding land uses. Again, to the north, you have a mixed-use, high-intensity, and in some industrial and commercial high-intensity areas. To the west, which is separated by Colbert Lane, you do have the mixed-use designations. You have a small portion of residential. And to the southeast, you do have a mixed-use designation in Flagler Beach. The key here is that you do have some low-density residential uses east of Roberts Road. And this is a part of the consideration that had to be taken when we looked at what some of the appropriate zoning designations would be for this parcel. So we will look at later when we look at the master plan development and some of the proposed zoning, some internal buffers or restrictions have been placed to help sort of protect that existing low-density residential use to the east of Roberts Road. So we find that the proposed change is consistent with comprehensive plan policies. You do have the availability of infrastructure on site. It does promote land use patterns that do not increase the cost of providing utilities. The proposed increase in residential density would provide you with opportunities to diversify housing. And again, the location of the commercial non-residential development on a main arterial like Colbert Lane or Roberts Road would be appropriate. So under the findings, we find no significant impact on the level of service for public infrastructure. no significant impact on environmental factors. It is consistent with the surrounding land uses, and it is consistent with the comprehensive plan. So at this time, staff is recommending that the Planning and Land Development Land Development Regulation Board recommend approval of the proposed comprehensive plan amendment to City Council. As next steps for this proposed FLUM amendment, it would still have two City Council public hearings. It would need to be transmitted to the State Land Planning Agency, the Department of Economic Opportunity, and other state agencies for comments. So moving on to the proposed zoning for this 196-acre area, as we stated previously, there's multiple ownerships of the there are three main owners of the parcels in this area. Florida Landmark Communities owns the 184-acre parcel that you see here. You have Tuesday Corporation owning that 2-acre parcel, and the Smith family owns this 10-acre area that's developed with the two industrial buildings. So the current designation, again, Flagler County designations, you see that for the 184-acre area, it is mixed-use high-intensity planned unit development, currently known as Grand Reserve West PUD, and you do have 12 acres of industrial area, the 2 acres at the corner, and the 10 acres that's part of the Smith properties. So the proposal here is to change those designations. Where you had the light industrial area in the corner, we're proposing to change that to general commercial. Where you have the industrial 10 acres, the proposal is to change that to 10 acres of light industrial. And where you have the master plan development, or the planned unit development, essentially to change that to master plan development, which is the city's most equivalent zoning district. Now I'm going to go through each of those properties in greater detail. For the corner parcel, we're recommending the two acres to be designated as general commercial. Being in a corner lot on two main arterials and having the potential of new residential areas developing surrounding that 2-acre parcel, we're recommending general commercial in that the general commercial provides zoning which has a wider variety of options for retail and service uses, which might be more useful for the surrounding residential areas. And that's why we're recommending general commercial for that parcel. For the 10 plus or minus acre light industrial, currently designated as industrial, we are recommending that it changes to light industrial. It is currently developed with approximately 50,000 and 40,000 square foot industrial buildings. What the light industrial district does is that it is a designation that protects the existing uses on the site. But the light industrial use is recommended that it does not generally intrude into the surrounding uses, and this such use may be buffered from the proposed residential uses that you will see to the west by some open space that is also being proposed as part of that master plan development. So the last parcel that we'll look at is the large 184-acre parcel, formerly called Grand Reserve West, and now called Colbert Preserve, Roberts Point, and Master Plan Development. Again, the surrounding land uses to that are all generally have the designation of planned unit developments, and they all typically would be some sort of mixed-use commercial development, and meaning that there will be some similar to what's being proposed for the Colbert Preserve and Roberts Road MPD, you will have a mix of residential and commercial uses along the main roads. This is a conceptual development plan that's provided. As you can see, there's going to be really the main non-residential area for the MPD would be towards the northern part, which would be adjacent to the existing industrial which would be adjacent to the existing proposed general commercial, adjacent to Sea Ray in this area. And you do have this MPD here, which I believe would be end up being high-density residential and some commercial uses also. So, comparing the development entitlements and conditions under the current approved PUD and what's being proposed, there are some significant changes, but we'll also show you some areas where we think we've provided for some mitigating factors to support those uses. Under the entitlements, currently it's entitled for 300 single-family units, attached or detached. Now, to be clear with that, there were also about 40 acres within that existing PUD that were undesignated for any type of use. So who's to say that those 40 acres wouldn't have been proposed for additional residential? Under the proposed MPD, it is proposed that there are a cap of 1,500 dwelling units in that single family and or multifamily. Under the commercial entitlements, currently under the PUD, you can develop up to from anywhere from 25 to 50% of the property for general commercial uses, including office warehouse units, flexible retail. And so if you were to take up to 50% of that area, that could be up to 92 acres of the site could have been developed for commercial. What's proposed is a cap of 200,000 square feet non-residential, general commercial and light industrial at Roberts Point, which would also with an inclusion of about a 400 space RV or boat storage on site. Again, towards that northern portion that I highlighted previously. The proposed heights currently 35 feet for residential, 45 feet for commercial. What's proposed is that you have a single family height limit of 45 feet and 60 foot multifamily and commercial height limit, which is, I want to point out, is very consistent with the city's land development code for height limits for multifamily residential development. For streetscape landscape improvement under the current PUD, it would have been 15 feet on Roberts Road and Colbert Lane. Under the proposed, that's been beefed up to 25 feet. Ingress and egress, the current PUD is silent on that, but as required by the city's land development code, there would be 2 points of ingress and egress for the development. Under open space, the current PUD requires a minimum of 25% of the gross area remain open space. As required by our code, the minimum requirement is 40%, so 40% of the site of the gross area of the site will remain as open space. Under protection of tree canopy, currently the current PUD is silent on that issue, but under the proposed PUD, that the owners would be required to do a tree survey to identify the hardwood hammock areas and to maintain the canopy integrity within any hardwood hammock areas within that PUD. For recreation requirements, under the current PUD, it's included in the open space requirements, so there's really no minimum area requirements in the PUD. Under the proposed MPD, as consistent with our code, there would be the requirement to provide 8 acres per 1,000 people within that MPD. And consistent across both PUD and MPD, there would be a requirement for bicycle and pedestrian accommodations in the form of sidewalks, paths, or whatever is proposed by the developer. So looking at that MPD, again, we find its consistency with the comprehensive plan and that the MPD does allow that opportunity to provide a variety of housing products. It does not cause significant financial liability or hardship in the city. Again, you have the infrastructure available to serve the site. The potential uses on the site are compatible with surrounding uses and would be subject to further development review. Under the criteria, does it accomplish a legitimate public purpose? It does diversify the housing stock in the city. It provides opportunity to provide service uses adjacent to residential areas. And it does protect the existing uses on site. So at this time, staff is recommending to the Planning Board that the City Council approve the proposed zoning map amendments, the 2 acres from industrial to general commercial, 10 acres from industrial to light industrial, and the 184 acres to be changed from planned unit development to master plan development, along with the attached development agreement. And similar to the Flume, the rezoning will require 2 public hearings before City Council, and even if approved, for those undeveloped areas of this area, they would still be required to go through a subdivision master plan, plat approval, and site plans. That concludes staff presentation.
Jose, does the applicant have a presentation?
I don't believe they do, but they are present if you have any questions for them.
Okay, so let's bring it back to the board for any questions you folks might have. Mr. Freeman?
I don't have any questions at this time. I think where I would come in when we develop a site plan. Is that right, Jose?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Pete?
I have no further questions.
Okay. Jake, do you have any?
None here.
Clint? I'm sorry, Clint. We're skipping you. Sir? Mr. Davis?
I don't have anything.
Could you just go back to the PUD, MPD site plan? That, you just went by it, that one. These red are multi-family dwellings?
Yes, they are. Yes, sir.
Okay, and there are no single-family dwellings being shown on this map?
Under this conceptual development plan, there's not. At the time that they come in for their subdivision master plan, that flexibility will be sort of moved off the table, and there will be some commitments made as to the unit types that will be proposed on site. As I mentioned, the 1,500 is really a more of a cap on the number of units that they will have.
Dwelling units. So a dwelling unit is either a single family.
It could be single
or an apartment, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And one last thing: the area on the curve of Robert Road that we as you approach Colbert, those are commercial buildings. You're going to leave that's...
They will be either light industrial or general commercial area. Again, and that would also be the site of the applicant has proposed a 400 space storage site for RVs and boats, and it would be up in that area too.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There being no further questions from the Planning Board, we'll open the meeting up to a public hearing. So any resident who'd like to comment positively or negatively on this proposal, please approach the podium and state your name and address for the clerk.
My name is James Smith. I'm the owner, along with Julie, of the 2 commercial buildings in question on the 10 acres. My main question is, why are we changing the zoning in those 2 buildings only? We have been industrial. We have been promised no zoning changes if we annexed into to the city of Palm Coast. And I need questions. For me to complain or not complain, they said there was going to be a buffer zone around it between us and the residential. What is the size of this buffer? Right now we got, I don't know, how many acres of fly ash behind the building and everything from the old cement company. When they develop that, what are they going to do with it? We had the same problem when we built our building, that it could not be built on fly ash because it was not a stable base. I'm just needing to know the effects that it's going to have on us. We're a 60-year-old company. We were in Ormond Beach for 20 years, and we ran into the same kind of thing. We were guaranteed that we were not going to see a zoning change or anything that's going to interfere with our commercial business. And I can see us start to go on this road here. So I need answers before I can go further with my questions.
Thank you. We'll get you an answer. Any other speakers? Seeing no one else approach the podium, we'll close the public hearing portion of the meeting and give it back to the staff to address Mr. Smith's questions or concerns. Okay.
What we've tried to address with the zone, first of all, again, the proposed zoning occurs because where it previously was in unincorporated Flagler County, once it's annexed into the city, we need to designate those parcels, all of these parcels, with a designation that belongs to the city, so that the rules that are applied to them are the rules that have been adopted by the city. We don't deal with the Flagler County Land Development Code or Zoning Code. We're the city of Palm Coast. And that's why whenever you annex a parcel or areas or lands, you need to change the zoning from the Flagler County designations to the city of Palm Coast designations. Going from county industrial to city of Palm Coast light industrial, in reviewing our land development code, the light industrial use designation does protect the existing uses that are on this site. They may continue to manufacture, or the activities that are occurring there may continue with no interference. It's permitted by the land development code. From my discussion with Mr. Smith earlier was that the current Flagler County Industrial Zoning District does permit heavy industrial. Our light industrial, we have two industrial categories, light industrial and industrial two or heavy industrial. We have proposed or recommended that the uses on this site be limited to those that are consistent with light industrial. And that's certainly due to the changing nature of what's being proposed in the area. We protected their use, and even if we were to recommend higher intensity industrial, there might be performance standards that we have within that district that would that could certainly interfere with any more intensification of the industrial uses on this site.
And if I can just add, you know, one of the things when a property is annexed into the city, what we try to do is really do a comparison. You know, this was the county zoning, and really try to equal what that zoning would be in the city. This property was actually easy because you have something that was existing, and you have an existing warehouse, and with our category and our category types in our land development code, that's clearly light industrial with our code. Like Jose stipulated that the county's industrial has one category. We have heavy and we have light. If you look at Hardgrove Grade, everyone knows where our industrial section is out there. All that you see out there, all those different uses, the car lot, the even you have some stores out there for food, you know, all your different warehousing, your storage facilities, all those are all light industrial. The only heavy industrial that we have out in Hardgrove Grade is at the very end, and we have two lots that used to be the old chemical plant where you're dealing with, you know, lots of chemical storage. That really sets the category for our heavy industrial. So what we actually did was try to, you know, what the existing use is and put it for that zoning category. I would say that, you know, we have two other readings with city council that make the decision, and we definitely, before we go to city council, definitely want to get with the landowners prior to going and come up with a decision prior to city council. But what we're asking that it's, you know, with our application is consistent with the comp plan. If we have to change it, we'll come back to the planning board in the future. You know, if we withdraw it, we'll come back later at a later date. I guess that's what I would suggest right now.
Okay. Anybody else have any? So what we need is four separate votes, right? So what we need now is a opportunity to discuss these issues if we'd like, or make a motion and vote on it. What's your pleasure, folks?
And Mr. Chairman, this item that we were talking about with the question would be the item number four.
Right. So we're back to item number two now in terms of discussing and voting, which is the amendment of the comprehensive plan for the whole package to change it from mixed-use, high-intensity, industrial to Palm Coast designations of mixed use with a policy limit on the development portions of the subject area. Questions, folks? Concerns? How about a motion?
I move that we approve the amendment, the zoning request.
Okay. We have a motion to approve. Do we have it seconded?
I'll second it.
And it's seconded. Ms. Schaefer, will you call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith can't participate.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. Mr. Lenhertz.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Good. Okay, so next we're going to talk about a zoning map amendment from industrial, Flagler County designation, to general commercial for the two-acre portion up at the corner of Roberts Road and Colbert. You have a motion there?
I make a motion we approve the planning board. So.
Great. Mr. Davis makes the motion. How about a second?
I'll second that one also.
Great. Pete's going to second it. Would you call the roll again?
Mr. Lenhertz.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Excellent. Next one is a zoning map amendment from industrial, Flagler County designation, to light industrial for the 10-acre parcel on 465 and 551 Roberts Road. I gather that's a Smith property, correct?
Yes, sir.
Any comments or concerns? How about a motion?
I move we approve the zoning map amendment.
Thank you, Jake. Second?
I'll second it.
Davis seconds. Ms. Schaefer?
Mr. Lenhertz.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Great. And the final one is a zoning map amendment for 184 acres from mixed-use high to planned unit development, PUD, which are Flagler County designations, to MPD, which is the City of Palm Coast designation.
And Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think you were going to say what I'm about to say, but that includes the development agreement.
Yeah, it includes the limitations, the development limitations
agreement
on housing units, as well as commercial square footage.
Which is all within the development agreement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good. Can I have a motion?
Make the motion. We do it.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Scully.
Mr. Lenhertz.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We can move on to number six on our agenda, which is a approval of a master subdivision plan, referred to as American Village. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may be a little bit new to you. We don't do too many of these, and I can't recall the last time we took a, Mr. Hoover took a subdivision plan. Basically, this is the first step into our platting process. We do part of our platting process when you're subdividing land is you do a master subdivision plan. The second step of that process is after their subdivision plan is approved, then they come in with what we call a preliminary plat, and that's when they do all the engineering designs and the stormwater and the wastewater, and then the third phase of that would be a final plat, and that final plat is approved by city council. It's very technical, and make sure you meet the dimensions. So this is the first phase of it, and our land development code requires if you're over a certain threshold of units or intensities for a subdivision that the planning board review and approve. And Ida Meehan has the technical staff report. I will say that this property is already zoned. Just a little background with this specific piece of property, and I may get the dates wrong, but around the time, a little bit prior to 2008, when we were doing our land development code, there was actually a master plan that was in the city of Palm Coast for a project. And with that project, it was sort of a mix of use project where you had multifamily in the center, and you had residential on the outside of that, of single-family homes. That project never went forward, but we had the approved plan for that project at the same time we were doing the citywide rezoning for our first zoning in 2008. And so what we did is, the zoning map reflected at that time what that project was. And the internal, the way the zoning is, the internal of this project, the semicircle, I guess you would call it, is multifamily with residential surrounding that property. And tonight they're looking at the subdivision plan as their first phase of creating the plat, the subdivision for those single-family lots for the project. But with that, Ida has the details.
Yes, before you start, Ida, we'll... the other phases of this project come back to this board?
Yes, yeah, with the intensity of the multifamily, yes, sir.
Okay.
May I just, we seem to have this discussion a lot about where we are in the stage of the process. This is just a suggestion for staff. It might be helpful, particularly for, be helpful for me, I'm sure it would be helpful for people concerned in the area to have a graphical representation as we give these things. It says, okay, this is step A, B, C, D, and E. This is where we are on the timeline. And it could, we discuss it every time.
Right.
But in terms of putting, you guys do such a great job of these presentations,
yep,
to actually just say, boom, here's where we are on the plan.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yep.
Then people can modulate their,
see where they are.
Appropriate to the stage that we're in, is what I'm saying.
A good suggestion.
Good idea. I'm sorry, I'll hold you up.
Okay. Good evening. This project is referred to as American Village.
Can you pull that microphone a little closer?
Sure. This project is referred to as American Village. It is a proposed master subdivision plan, and it's application 3398. It is the first step in the process for the applicant and the owner. The purpose of a master subdivision plan is to review basic development concepts without significant engineering design prior to preliminary plat, final plat, and technical site plan approval. What it does for the applicant in this instance is that the applicant would receive a development order authorizing them to apply for the preliminary plat for the 16.91 acre original parcel to be followed by a technical site plan for the multifamily tract. Staff reviews and provides recommendations to the planning board, and then the planning board makes a final action on the Tier 2 application. So in terms of location, this property is located along Pritchard Drive. It's 16.91 acres. It's proposing a perimeter single-family residential number of lots that may be developed in the future with multifamily in the center. And the acreage is approximately evenly divided between single-family and multifamily, approximately 8 acres each. It is designated residential on the future land use map, which allows the single-family development and the multifamily development. The site is zoned single-family 1 on its perimeter and multifamily 2 in the central portion of the site. And again, they're approximately evenly distributed between single-family and multifamily, the acreage totals. The lot layout being proposed by this master subdivision plan, it's indicating 48 single-family lots on what I refer to as the perimeter area, the single-family area, and 3 proposed multifamily lots in the center with a stormwater tract. It also includes 2 recreational areas. The landscaping that was submitted as part of this proposal includes a perimeter landscape buffer around the multifamily, as well as landscaping around each of the proposed multifamily lots. In terms of the conceptual utility and plan layout, the proposal shows 2 access drives from Pritchard Avenue and the internal access drive around the multifamily lot. So the 48 single-family lots will actually be using the internal access drive to the property.
I'm sorry, Ida. Did you say that the lots will take the internal access?
Yeah.
No lots are going to access Pritchard Drive
directly. Correct. There's an internal access drive, and then there's 2 access points to Pritchard, one on each side of the property.
Okay.
So a non-residential master subdivision plan is one of 3 types of master plans. Approval of the master plan yields a development order, is the controlling document for the location of lots and parcels, including landscape buffers, master stormwater drainage, access drives, parking, and pedestrian facilities. Later on, the technical site plans and the preliminary plats will follow this proposed master subdivision plan if it's approved. In terms of the site development requirements that this plan would be under, the single-family 1 lots are 6,000 square feet and 75% impervious coverage. The setbacks are 20 feet in the front, 10 feet in the rear. The interior setback would be 5 feet, and the street side setback would be 15 feet. The multifamily development allows 70% impervious coverage, up to 60 feet in height potentially, 650 square foot area minimum, and the setbacks would be 25 feet in the front, 20 in the rear, 10 in the interior, and 20 on the street side.
Sorry, Ida, those are SFR1?
Correct. That's what the land development code requirements are for those 2 zoning districts.
Good.
So in terms of a master subdivision plan review, the criteria are that the design be logical, that there be internal consistency, impact on neighboring sites be considered, internal vehicle and pedestrian consistency be considered, and that the utilities are acceptable from the city's technical vantage point, and that there be a public benefit. We find that the project is not illogical given the zoning. There is an internal consistency in that the single family will face the multifamily as one development with the internal drive. The traffic will increase, but the project still meets level of service for the roads impacted. The utility and public amenity design is acceptable. And that overall, although Palm Coast doesn't have a lot of infill-type development, it's considered very beneficial from a planning point of view because the infrastructure is in place to accommodate it. So our finding is that it's not in conflict or contrary to the public interest. The proposed development will be consistent with the Land Development Code and the Comprehensive Plan, promote efficiency in providing public services and interconnectivity. The proposed development imposes no significant financial liability on the city, does not create a hazard or a nuisance, and that the site development meets the requirement of all applicable local and state and federal regulations. So we find that the applicant has met the conceptual, the standard for conceptual approval of this master plan, subject to preliminary plat, final plat, and technical site plan review. That is where significantly more detail will be provided. And we are recommending that you approve application 3398, American Village Master Subdivision Plan, subject to our continued review and application of the Land Development Code and the Comprehensive Plan with respect to future stages and more information on the multifamily development. And we will continue to review the multifamily development against the subdivision master plan and the detailed requirements of the LDC, specifically with respect to design, parking, landscaping, stormwater, etc. That concludes our presentation.
And the applicant is also here as well, so I don't know if they have a presentation or want to say a few words.
Mr. Beebe, welcome
Hello,
back.
Hello, Mike Beebe for the applicant. We do not have a presentation, but we have our traffic engineer here, our land planner, landscape architect, and so any questions that the board might have as it pertains to this project, we would be glad to answer.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Back to the board for some questions. Let me ask one first. At another phase of this project, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the traffic and the sanitary and the water and all the other stuff that we usually do.
Right, correct.
You know, it's too early in the process to get into those studies at this point. Is that right?
This is to demonstrate the conceptual feasibility okay. of the project.
Okay, great. Let's go, Mr. Freeman.
I don't have anything.
No questions, gentlemen? Oh, Mr. Smith, you're
I'm
back.
I'm sorry. I had two quick questions. First, I just want to make sure that the traffic study that was in there did include the future multifamily. It looked like it did. So, okay, good. The other thing was you flashed up the setbacks for the single family, mm-hmm. and I was under the impression that if the back of the house faced a road right away, you had an additional setback that it wasn't 10 feet. But
I think that's
thought
if it's on
a
major, like a collector, there's an additional street setback.
We actually show a 15-foot setback on those.
Okay, because yeah. I thought even in the code there was an additional setback if you had a double frontage lot, which is really what you have. So, mm-hmm. But what you had in there, I think, said 10 feet, so that was my only question.
Okay.
Okay. We will open the meeting to the public. If the public would like to speak, please approach the podium. Seeing no one approaching the podium, we close the public portion of it and bring it back to the board for a discussion or a motion. Anybody have anything further they'd like to discuss?
Would it be the motion would be this is phase one of this project,
yeah.
correct?
Yes.
And I think that's in the staff recommendation, so.
Yeah. It's approval of the master subdivision plan, which is in your statement, is phase one of this process.
Right.
Okay, so the motion would add, we would include phase one of this project, correct?
Fine.
With
you, Catherine?
Yes, I mean, with the understanding that you just stated, and also with the two staff conditions, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Which are continue to review the proposal from multifamily development to ensure the standards, and also continue to review the development for the subdivision plan for the detailed requirements of all other sections of the LTC, including architectural design, parking, landscaping, all of that.
Yes. Thank you.
So the motion is to approve the subdivision plan subject to those caveats that the development staff has specified. Second?
I'll second the motion.
And Mr. Smith seconds. Ms. Schaefer?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhertz?
Yes.
Mr. Scully?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Tyner, anything else?
No, sir. I don't have anything.
Okay, then a motion to adjourn.
So made.
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
To adjourn.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.